This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagier.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name is John Christovasilis, and I'm a Microsoft Certified Trainer, Microsoft Certified Professional, and an IT consultant with 3 college degrees, 40-plus certifications, and over 20 years of international experience in the IT field. A lot of what I do involves educating users about Microsoft Office 365, OneDrive, and SharePoint. I'm also a Microsoft Office Specialist Master Instructor, and I've delivered training classes for all of the Microsoft Office Suite apps, including Access, Excel, Link, OneNote, Outlook, PowerPoint, Project, Publisher, SharePoint, Skype for Business, Visio, and Word. I've also trained users in Microsoft Windows, Yammer, Adobe Acrobat, Camtasia, Jabber, and numerous other applications. I've been a user of Microsoft Office and Windows products since the mid-1990s, and I take great pride in and derive great satisfaction from teaching people how to be more efficient and effective when using these tools. In fact, I was a professor for 8 years in Florida before traveling around the U.S. as a contract trainer, and then eventually relocating to the Washington, D.C. metro area about 4 years ago due to the excellent job opportunities.
John, how are you involved with user adoption?
User adoption and the training that typically accompanies it is a never-ending cycle, not a one-off. Anyone who thinks otherwise is kidding themselves and is in for a big surprise. Not the good kind, Henrik. I've been involved with user adoption for thousands of users migrating from Windows XP to Windows 7 and then to Windows 8 and Windows 10. During that same time, I've seen an equal number of users jump from Microsoft Office 2003 to 2007 to 2010 to 2013 to 2016. And Office 365 is most certainly the cherry on top. And there are other smaller user adoption projects as well that I've been a part of. Link to Skype for Business, for example, or SharePoint 2010 to 2013 to 2016. Or upgrading old school clunky desk phones to spiffy voice over IP phones. Some of these migration projects were small scale, whereas others were very, very large scale, spanning multiple countries. Sometimes the users had no say in the adoption, whereas other times they not only had a say, but they downright stopped it. I've experienced the latter on more than one occasion where the new system did not perform as expected and users were rolled back to the previous system or version. Mind you, this is usually the exception, not the norm, but it does sometimes happen, especially with government agencies or with private sector organizations with so-called older legacy systems that do not always integrate well with newer systems. Sometimes it's software that causes the issue, sometimes it's hardware that doesn't integrate properly with the software, sometimes it's people, or sometimes it just doesn't perform as described or expected. One recent and memorable example with a government agency was Polycom VoIP phones that did not have the ability to easily hold, transfer, and enable users to pick up calls from any location in the hospital without having to previously sign into the phones. This was considered a deal breaker, and the old desk phones were returned and reinstalled, even after training had already been conducted on the new phones. I recently started a short-term contract with a Bethesda, Maryland-based liability insurance and risk management company that employs about 200 people. They hired me as a senior technical trainer and user adoption evangelist, a prime candidate for the best job title in my career so far. I think you'll agree, Henrik. My role is to not only train their users, now my colleagues, in their new branded SharePoint system, but also to evangelize and drive user adoption of SharePoint and Office 365, focusing on the tangible benefits that they can bring the organization and its departments and teams and individuals. Unfortunately, there is no one-size-fits-all solution to user adoption. The best thing that a trainer or manager can do is to know their audience or team. What do their employees need to do their job? How do they learn best? And what inspires them to want to learn? User adoption is all about spin, but it's also about culture and learning styles and psychology. How you market user adoption to your users is key, from kickoff parties to sunset or wrap parties, to freebies and free lunches, to training sessions and videos, to cheat sheets and handouts, and beyond. It's all critical. Different people learn in different ways. Some like watching videos. Others prefer a one-on-one with a trainer at their desk on their schedule. Still others prefer to learn while munching on a slice or two of freshly baked pizza in a room with 10 other people having fun. I've done and continue to do all of the above. My teaching style is very much hands-on, example-driven, with detailed quick reference guides and custom tip sheets to help users when they get back to their desks. And I always make sure to do this with a smile, a dose of humor, and plenty of wit, because boring training classes and unfunny trainers put me right to sleep. A lot of people take user adoption for granted, but I can assure you that it's more complicated than that. From a psychological perspective, most users want to be listened to, want to be heard, want to be spoken to, and they want support because they want their voice to be heard and their opinion to matter. And with support comes training, proper professional training, by someone certified to deliver it, who knows the system inside and out, and who can connect with their audience. I connect by engaging my audience. I use the Socratic method. Via humor, funny PowerPoint slides and witty jokes, and via real life stories, memorable examples that illustrate my key points. I've been to many companies as the, quote, replacement trainer because the previous trainer wasn't good or didn't connect with people or didn't understand the system or had their own agenda.
John, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
Henrik, some of the biggest successes with user adoption are, quite simply, having people say, wow, I didn't know I could do that. That's going to save me so much time. That just puts a huge smile on my face and a spring in my step. Knowing that I just taught someone something that will save them time and make them more productive is truly one of the main reasons why I do what I do. And it's even better when it's a VP or a C-level executive. Another related success is when people, especially people who are in leadership positions, supervisors, managers, directors, realize how much more efficient and productive they and their teams can be by adopting a new system, possibly because the new system does things that the old system did not, or because it does things more quickly or more efficiently. I've experienced this on many occasions, and it never ceases to give me a very warm and fuzzy feeling inside. Another big success is when an entire department or company adopts a new system, not because they have to, but because they want to. They see the benefits, the cost savings, the time savings, the efficiencies, and they embrace them, even though they realize that these will take some time to achieve due to the learning curve involved in any new system or process and the time and training resources required to make it all work. Ultimately, when user adoption is successful, typically after successful training, you should see that look on some people's faces, that aha moment, that realization that their life has just changed for the better. Some people will shout it out because they want everyone to know, whereas others internalize the knowledge, preferring to digest it over time. I typically ask each attendee at the end of class what they learned that will be of value to them or what they like most. And this can be the most revealing part of the user adoption process, as it gives me, as the trainer, valuable knowledge for my next training class supporting user adoption. Henrik, in my opinion, the single biggest challenge with user adoption is getting people to come to training. I think that once you can conquer that, much of the rest is a downhill battle. While it's true that there are exceptions, people who come to training but who resist adoption of a new system, I would say that those people are generally the minority. And in most cases, working with them one-on-one goes a long way towards assuaging them and making them feel as if things are not as bad as they thought. Another huge challenge or hurdle, Henrik, is answering the proverbial question, why do I need to do, learn, use this? My solution is to always place myself in the user's shoes, to sympathize with them, to empathize, and to tell them, quite frankly, that I too am, or was, a new user at some point in time. I didn't come out of the egg knowing all of this stuff. I become their ally, their friend, and their support, in addition to being their teacher, their trainer, and their instructor. I try to make them see how this new thing will make their life easier. Again, success rates will vary, but the personal touch is what can make or break all the difference here. I also try to avoid using too many acronyms, abbreviations, jargon, and tech speak, unless I'm dealing with techies, of course. And I try to put everything into perspective for them. This doesn't always work for all people, and it's extremely rare to make every person happy about whatever product or system or service they're being asked or forced to adopt. But at the same time, you should at least give it a try. Henrik, I have a pretty good track record with user adoption of new systems since becoming a trainer and a consultant. Most of my stories are successes, but there have been a few failures. People who just don't want to budge, don't want to learn, don't want to come to training, are retiring soon, have no faith in the new system, think the new system sucks, have had the same phone number for 30 years. These are all real life examples, by the way, and so on and so forth. And sometimes the new system itself is the biggest challenge, possibly because it's riddled with bugs. It was rushed into production. It lacks documentation. It wasn't tested enough. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do, or any other number of reasons. All of these challenge user adoption and require careful planning to ensure that user adoption occurs or, as is sometimes the case, is delayed until the system is performing as expected.
John, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
It's a good question, Henrik. The biggest hurdles are change, because change is constant, and justifying why change is necessary. It's the good old why question. Why do I need to learn this? We all experience change in our everyday lives as we transition from job to job, buy a new car, or something even simpler, upgrading to a new phone. Every change brings with it challenges, new features, greater efficiency, better performance, lower costs. But all of these typically come at a price. Sometimes it's the upfront sticker price, the cost of purchase, such as when buying a new phone or computer or car. Sometimes the price is spread out over time. And I don't mean a payment plan, but rather the learning curve. Learning a new system, the ropes of a new job, how a new car works, a new phone's features, these all take time and patience. And in many cases, they require training. Sometimes a YouTube video suffices. But when dealing with a new, complex, customized enterprise system, expert training is not only recommended, but it's required. I've worked with nearly 100 different companies and consulted with thousands of users. And at the end of the day, the story is almost always the same. If you don't properly train your users how to use a new system, they will not adopt it or use it as it was meant to be used. Henrik, I would also advise people working on improving user adoption that communication is key to making people aware that training exists. Emails, posters, banners, flyers, videos, social media posts, word of mouth, I've done them all, and so should you. So should they. Yes, there is always the possibility that too much communication becomes background noise, which is why you need to change it up, mix it up, and think outside of the box. Prizes, gift cards, free lunches, t-shirts. I've received all of the above and more for attending training that was promoting user adoption of a new system. And I can confirm without any hesitation that offering people free lunch goes a very long way to getting them to attend training, which is one of the most critical steps in the user adoption process. People are generally more open-minded to new ideas and new systems if there's something in it for them. Why? Well, perhaps it's human nature, or maybe I'm overthinking it, but whatever the reason, it works. Of that, I'm 100% sure.
John, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Henrik, for user adoption, I would suggest several resources. Obviously, the internet via Google and YouTube, but also Amazon and your local library. Additionally, I frequently share updates and posts with the LinkedIn community, not just about user adoption, but about information technology in general that I think people should be aware of. So I would suggest that people follow me on LinkedIn at http://www.linkedin.com/in/theJPC. I'm also available for speaking engagements as well as training sessions. Please contact me via LinkedIn if you're interested. If you have any questions about user adoption, or if you think that I might be a useful and valuable addition to your organization. Henrik, thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day and good luck with your book.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.